Today on Real Life Radio.
You have to be responsible for you. I'm to be responsible for me. When God says it, you better catch it. He's going to be speaking to us as a church. You guys, I know theoretically that three of you could show up next week. I'd rather take the three of you that have a mitt ready to catch it than 2,000 of you who don't want to catch it.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. We all know that life is full of noise. The TV is on with news you often can't trust, dishes are clanging in the kitchen, and blaring sounds of rush hour traffic whiz by. It's enough to make your head spin, really, but it doesn't always have to be that way. We have special programming that can really soften the day's hectic pace. It's our Real Life Network. It's designed to give you relevant, life-changing programming for the whole family that you really can trust. Titles like Ignite Your Life by Barry McGuire, Washington Watch by Tony Perkins, Happening Now with Pastor Jack, and Star-Spangled Adventures for the Little Patriots. You can relax and enjoy entertainment for the whole family. The Real Life Network, it's available on your favorite device anytime, anywhere, so don't miss a moment that really can enrich your life with shows that inspire instead of wear you down. Sign up today for free at reallifenetwork.com. That's reallifenetwork.com. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues with his series called 1 Corinthians, with the message titled, Bodybuilding in the Church of God, Part 1. You know, 1 Corinthians was written by the Apostle Paul to the Church of God in Corinth, and he shares with us the empowering presence of the bodybuilder himself, the Holy Spirit. You see, as Christians, we're called to pursue love, to have the desire to learn our spiritual gifts, and to yield ourselves totally over to God. So it really is time that we build up the church and strengthen its body of believers. So today, Pastor Jack teaches that bodybuilding in the church is to first strengthen our own personal faith, our focus, and our effectiveness, and to use our spiritual gifts to benefit others. Now, with his message called Bodybuilding in the Church of God, Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
A life that is yielded and submitted to God regarding the gifts of the Holy Spirit, God will use that life. I want to encourage all of you right now. I hope this is an encouragement anyway. As we start through this journey in chapter 14, you're going to be discovering what your gift or gifts are. If today you say, well, I'm a Christian, okay, great. Then listen, next question. If you're a Christian, what gift or gifts of the Holy Spirit are operational in your life? In other words, how do others around you benefit from your Christian gift? Those questions must be answered. Do you see why today needs to be like a workshop? This is almost like an examination at the office, at the doctor's office. We need to find out if we are displaying those things that are true about a believer. And if today you're saying, gosh, Pastor, I really, really, really want to know. I don't know. Then there's great excitement for you. There's great joy ahead for you. Check this out. The most fun about what we're going to be learning, if someone sits here today and says, well, I believe in God, and I guess because I'm a really good, leader at my company, and so I must have the gift of helps. That must be me. I must have that gift. Or if today you say, "Well, I'm the national winner of the sale from the sales department of our company. I can sell snow to an Eskimo. I must have the gift of evangelism." Or if you say, well, you know what, I'm a school teacher, so I know pastor teacher's a gift, then I must be a pastor because I'm a school teacher. Guess what? None of those things apply to what I'm talking about today. Did you know that? If somebody says to you, man, you sure can talk a lot, you should be a pastor. Or, man, you know what? You're sure helpful, you should be a missionary. The great thing about what we're talking about, you guys, has nothing to do with our human talents and giftings. We have talents. Can you play the piano? You must have the gift of the Holy Spirit to play the piano. No such gift. You have a human talent. You can sell snow to an Eskimo. You're a great salesman. You do not have the Holy Spirit doing that through you. It doesn't work that way. In fact, in most cases, the person today who is saying, wow, I'm excited to find out what my gift is, but I can tell you right now, it won't be this, that, or the other thing because I have no inclination to do that. Oh boy, you better put your seatbelt on. Because God will begin to stir up your heart. God, listen, he will stir up your heart. He will deposit an interest in your mind for that gift or gifts. It will begin to burn on your heart. And people, if people were to hear about it, if you were to say, I think the Lord might be calling me to be an evangelist, you'll know. People around you will say, you? Grow up. It will be something God deposits in your life that brings total glory and honor to God and not you. I get really nervous, man, when you see really talented people in the pulpit. That's scary. So that should encourage you today that God wants to do something with you that you yourself would not pick or design. And with that, God will get all the glory in your life. Are you willing? Don't answer. Are you willing to be submitted to the will of God in this area? If you are, your life spiritually is just about ready to begin. I don't care how young or old you are, it's going to be very exciting. Point number one, we have a few minutes left. Great. Point number one, verses 1-2, it is this. Bodybuilding in the church of God begins with this. Strengthening your personal faith. Strengthening your personal faith. It says right here, verse 1, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. That's a good thing, church. Don't frown upon that. For no one understands him. However, in the spirit, he speaks mysteries. First things first, verses 1 and 2, we learn this about our bodybuilding within the church begins with our own first private personal faith in God. Absolutely essential. By way of understanding this verse the most, in your margins, in your note-taking, write down next to verse 1, 1 Timothy chapter 4, 7 and 8. 1 Timothy 4, verses 7 and 8. Paul told Timothy, exercise yourself toward godliness, for bodily exercise profits a little. All those people sweating over there at LA Fitness, they're doing a good thing. It just won't last long. That's why I don't do it. Why do it? It's not going to last long. But godliness is profitable for all things. Having the promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. What's he saying? Number one thing regarding personal developments, nobody can grow for you. In faith, that's got to be something that you diligently apply in your life. And when he says exercise yourself towards godliness in 1 Timothy 4, 7, the word in Greek is gymnazo. Does that ring a bell? Gymnazo? That's where we get the word gym. We shortened it, gym. Gymnazo. Gymnazo means, I mean, technically in the Greek language in the New Testament, I got to tell you what it really means. The word is lifted. Paul lifted it from the Olympic Games. Gymnazo means to be stripped completely naked and then enter into the event. Can you imagine showing up to the Olympics just naked? The reason why they did it back in the Olympic days 2,000 years ago, it depended upon their event. When he says naked, for example, those that wrestled, very much like a sumo wrestler today. You've seen a sumo wrestler? They wear that kind of thing. I don't know what it's called in sumo wrestling, but I'll call it your jock strap. A gourd, you know what a gourd is? It covers a certain part of your body and that's it. Everything else is just a string. Why? Because when the Olympic wrestlers went in to wrestle, they went absolutely naked with their gourd on because they didn't want anything to be used against them to defeat them in their competition. Paul the Apostle used the very word. He could have used a different word. He used gymnazo to say, every Christian and Timothy, you also be ready. Strip down from everything that will distract, everything that could lead to defeat, everything the Holy Spirit's been warning you about in your spiritual growth to get rid of, push it aside, and you come naked, stripped of all the things of this world, all the things that distract you and pull you down. You show up to this great competition of faith, having nothing but the things needed. And that is having a heart ablaze for God. That's what he's saying to do. That's a great, great word for us today. And so he says, exercise yourselves. In Philippians 2:12, the Bible says, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out, circle those two words, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. This word in Greek means this. It doesn't mean you're saved by being good. It doesn't mean you're saved by doing good works. This word means that you, being saved, work out. The word means make sure you finish the course that's set before you. The word means complete the path, the race, to press on across through to the finish line regarding your salvation. It backs up what I said earlier. God does not tolerate spectator Christianity. There's no such thing. So church, mark this down. Strengthening your personal faith begins this way. Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, verse 1. That means strengthening your focus, to be eagle-eyed on this topic. Two things. Number one, pursue love. Pursue love. That's all of chapter 13 we've been listening and learning from. He says, now, all right, here we go. Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. Desire these spiritual things. What's he saying? That we have a new life as Christians, created in Christ. We've got a whole new world. We're born again. We live for a new reason. We've got new purpose, new vision, new passions, and new desires. And he says this amazing word, pursue love. I'm going to ask you to mark this word down. Pursue love, church, is a word, dioko, in Greek, and it means this. You can jot it down. We'll put it on the screen. To press into the mold. I'm going to give you a verse in a moment to back it up, but watch this. To press into the mold, to push into the wax, or to take the shape of the mold. That's what that word means, to pursue. Take the shape of love, be embossed, stamped, be poured into this thing of love, meaning every gift of the Holy Spirit used in your life, if it's not used in love, then you're out of order. You've got to take on the mold, the shape of love, God's love. Now look at this verse. It's a cool verse. Colossians 3, verse 1. Colossians 3, 1 says, if then you were raised with Christ, being a Christian, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind, listen to those strong words, seek those things, set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. For you died, ooh, look at that word. Look at the, you're dead. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Who died? What does it say there? Who died? You died. What died? That's the question you want to ask is, if I died, what died? The old person, the old life we used to live. The stuff that we used to say, hey, this is why I'm going to do this so I get all the attention. This is why I'm going to do this so I get all the glory. This is why I'm going to do this so I get all the money or all the fame or all the Now, listen, pursue love. That's gone. You've been molded now into the shape of Christ. By the way, every day you and I as Christians wake up, we are being molded again more and more into the image of Christ until that day comes where we see him face to face. Now that that's happening, we pursue love. We're being molded. We're being shaped. But what about the forming part? What about the desiring part? Look at Galatians 4:19. Write this down. Galatians 4:19 says, my little children, for whom I labor in birth again until Christ is formed in you. You're going to like this word. This word formed here in Galatians 4:19 is the word morpho, where you get the word morph. To morph, the word means to be fashioned, to be molded. Sounds like the other one, doesn't it? To be pressed into a mold. Watch this. To take on the form of another. Clearly, the word of God's teaching us that when the church is operating the gifts of the Holy Spirit as it ought to be, there are certain things. Are you with me, everybody? You guys okay? There's going to be certain things going on in your life with the gift and operation in your life that's going to mold and shape you more in the image of Jesus. Listen, listen. And there's no shortcut to that. You cannot become molded more like Jesus without the use of the gift of the Spirit in your life. That's why there are Christians today who love God but have chosen to play it safe and because of fear have never grown much. They've never let themselves get out there into being used by God. Because I got to tell you, in all honesty, to let yourself be used by God is to trust Him radically. And that causes the flesh to die. Your flesh wants to set it all up. We want to have everything described to us.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
You guys, I was talking to, I shouldn't share this with you. I mean it. I hope it comes around good. I was talking to a guy who's he's a nationally known dude on corporate operations. Companies hire him. You name the company. He goes into these companies and he says, this is how it needs to work. And anyway, him and I were talking. We wound up crossing paths and we started talking. And after talking with him, he concluded, he said, you know what? He said, it's amazing that God is using you. And I said, yeah, I'm really blessed by that. He goes, yeah. He goes, well, I mean, there's no reason on a corporate level why you should be used. I mean, I love you, man. You're a nice guy, Jack. But you know what? It's amazing. I looked you up online. I found out what's going on and the radio programs and what's going on and the influence of the church. And I never would have picked you to get this done. And after I'm kidding. I mean, he really said that. And I said, you have no idea the compliment you just paid me. Number one, I didn't ask for any of this. I didn't sign up for this. I didn't want any of this. On top of the fact that I used to stutter so badly and God supernaturally healed me, I'm just happy to be standing around. But to see what's gone on, I said, Mr. Dude, I'll call him, Mr. Dude, what you're saying gives me great joy because you've recognized what I've always known. And what you and I in Christianity need to get to is that place of saying, God, I can't believe you just used me today. I can't believe that we just did this, God. And people are going, I can't believe that God would use him. Do you know how many people are encouraged when people find out, I can't believe God used him? Because if God can use him, what's the old saying? If God can use him, God can use me. And that's the whole thing. Yes. So God gets the glory. Warren Wiersbe said, if you can figure out what's going on in your church, God's not the one doing it. I like that. The Bible tells us right here in verse 1, to pursue and to desire spirituals. The word is spirituals. The King James translators put spiritual gifts. That's true. But the word is spirituals, things that have come from heaven, not an earthly talent. Desire those things that come from heaven. And the word desire here is a great word. It means to having heat up or to heat up something like ardor or zeal or a burning passion. Did you know that God wants you to have a burning passion for the things of God? What are those things? The things that come from heaven. Listen to this. This is deep. A.W. Tozer, one of my favorite authors, writes this. It's the heartbeat of a man's new nature that longs with an ever-increasing longing to have more of God and all of God until it is only God who is living life through the man. Are you willing, church? Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to step out and up and say, God, my heart burns for you? Remember how we studied the love of God in chapter 13? God, I'm coming before you, warts and all, deficits and all. And I present myself to you, and Lord, I pursue you, asking you for your love to be lived out in my life. I surrender to you, and I'm asking you, God, to put in my heart, listen, put in my heart the desires for that thing that you'd have me to do in the body of Christ. Did everybody hear what I just said? Are you a Christian? Yes. Then pray that prayer. It is incumbent upon you to pray it. You must pray it. Oh God, what are my desires you want me to have? The Bible says in Psalm 37, verse 4, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. That's not a feel-good, blab-it-and-grab-it prayer. That is a prayer that says, if you delight yourself in God, his desires become your desires. Christ in you, the hope of glory, it's one perfect circuit of logic. And listen, everybody, if you're seeking the Lord and he begins to put in your heart to do this or that for the kingdom of God, in the gifts, for example, we'll go through them eventually, and you'll see that, it's gonna jump out, and you're gonna say, oh my gosh, that really excites me. I'm serious. It is gonna be amazing. But only those who are listening and open and willing will receive it. This is scary, church. Listen, I wish we could get, I'm sorry we're in a group so big here right now. Listen to what I'm gonna say. When God says something from his word, catch it. If you and I go to an angel game and we're sitting there and the ball is thrown to first base, what do you expect the first baseman to do? Catch it. What if he doesn't catch it? The crowd goes, oh, bummer, shoot. That was close. What if he misses it again? Oh, dude, come on. Gee whiz. What if he misses it a third time? Hey, coach, get him out of there before we lose this game. What if the guy misses it a fourth time? He's probably gonna get fired. Listen, when God says, as he's been saying, church, get ready, I'm gonna be speaking to you. Every Christian, look, you have to be responsible for you. I'm to be responsible for me. When God says it, you better catch it. He's gonna be speaking to us as a church. You guys, I know theoretically that three of you could show up next week. I'd rather take the three of you that have a mitt ready to catch it than 2,000 of you who don't wanna catch it. And you say, okay, Pastor Jack, that's it from here on out. I'm ready. And when we go through the gifts, and I define one, and I show you one, and I describe one, and we look at one, and you go, out of nowhere, you go, oh my gosh, that sounds cool, amazing. I could never do that, but I can't get it out of my head. You start to burn about it. For example, let me pick on this one because it's easy. You're a very passive person. You don't talk much. You're quiet. And you start, oh my goodness, God, I want to be open. And you're there at the supermarket. And God says, I don't know how he says this. I mean, I know he does it to me. He doesn't say it. I mean, I've never heard God say, Jack, this is God. I've never heard that. I've never heard him. But if he did, I would assume it would be less than how he does speak to me. You know what I'm talking about? Anybody get that? If he said it audibly, it would be less than how he does speak to me. Because how he speaks to me goes like this. Watch me. He goes like this. He grabs me like this. What? The person there. So what? There could be 15 people in line. And there's that person, God says, go tell that guy I love him. Well, Lord, with all due respect, why don't you go have some lady tell him that you love him? Why aren't you, a guy, me going over to tell a guy? Just do it. Oh, come on, God. It's my day off. And this is, are you with me, everybody? You know what I'm talking about? And he begins to, you go like this. He pulls you and you're sweating. You're freaking out. Oh, your mouth goes dry. Your heart's pounding. And you walk up, excuse me. Hey, listen, you're gonna think I'm nuts, okay? Here's the deal. I'm a Christian. I was just kind of talking to God in the store, praying. And I think God wanted me to tell you that he loves you, that he cares about your life. Okay, have a nice day. I'm serious. Don't be surprised if that guy goes, excuse me, whoa, wait a minute. My son's in the hospital sicker than a dog. I was just wondering if God was real. And you just came up to me and said that? You know God? Who is he? You know what? Let me tell you something right now. Every time God has done that in my life, not once did he fail. I failed, but he never fails.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, with his message called Bodybuilding in the Church of God, Part 1. Thanks for being with us today. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's series called 1 Corinthians. It's a series on the Corinthian church and the Apostle Paul's bold call for purity. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio.
If you've got children or grandchildren, you're going to want to get this book. It's called Will They Stand? Parenting Kids to Face Giants by author and speaker Ken Ham. Our younger generation is battling a culture of hate and adversity we never thought possible. So, for a gift of any amount to the Ministry of Real Life, our current featured resource, Will They Stand? Parenting Kids to Face Giants, is available at jackhibbs.com/realradio. That's jackhibbs.com/realradio.
This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.